You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have the agenda before us. I have been asked to remove the repeal of the multi-residential ordinance from the agenda. That's 12091. Is there objection to that? That's actually something we should have taken care of at the last meeting. Yeah. Well, you did your part, but we didn't go back. It was so we will not be dealing with that tonight, but if there are those that have come and really want to speak to it, you'll still be able to speak under audience participation. And Madam Clerk, would you advise us why we have a revised agenda here?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. When we were relooking at the agenda, actually, I do believe it was yesterday, we noticed under introductions the LIDs, and it's on page 5 of the agenda. The LIDs were being introduced for public hearing on December 18th, and that was incorrect. They needed to be introduced for public hearing on January 15th.
Thank you. Mr. Manager?
In keeping with that, we would like to remove from introductions item B1, which is ordinance 12161. Thank you.
12161. So are we going to have an agenda when we're done here?
We're working on it.
Okay. What about consent agenda? Does anybody have any intentions on the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you. I don't have anything, but as far as introduction scheduled for public hearing on 12/18, we have one item, and I think maybe we ought to consider moving that to January 15.
We'll do that under introductions then. I don't think that would be appropriate right now.
You can do it under introductions. It's part of the motions for the introductions.
Right. Just don't forget it when it comes. Assemblymember Keogh.
I would ask that we amend the agenda by moving item B under unfinished business to the first item to follow audience participation. There's been a request by the public to address resolution serial number 12-129 regarding the community development block grant. Particularly, Mr. David Rose, the Matsu Coalition on Housing and Homelessness Director.
Okay, we could do it that way, or we could suspend the rules and take public hearing on this item when it comes up. Which do you prefer?
Earlier would be fine.
Yeah, because I'm
fine either way.
They'll have to wait quite a while. So if there isn't an objection, we will take public hearing on that before we come to it.
We didn't move it. We just realized.
So, consent agenda, Assemblymember Culver.
Nothing on a consent agenda. Just following up on Mr. Arvin's comment about the only one business item for public hearing on the 18th. I guess we could do it under manager's report, but we may not need that meeting. Maybe under the manager's report, we'll discuss whether or not he wants to hold that meeting on the 18th or not.
Okay. Well, we'll do that, but it is still not relevant to our agenda right now.
If I can set their mind at ease, I can do that real quick, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk wants to set our minds at ease.
Should that be the will of the Assembly to take that one public hearing and not hold the meeting on December 18th when Assemblymember Salmon moves to the public hearings, he can just move those public hearings for January 15th and exclude the 12/18 date.
Do you get that, Mr. Salmon? Very good. Okay. We have a vastly amended agenda. Is there any further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we have the orders of the day, and we are presence tonight with the City of Houston Clerk, Sonia Dukes, and she's going to lead us in the pledge when we rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anything on the minutes of November 17th? Reports and correspondence. I did see Wasilla back there. Please come forward.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, my name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have just two items for you tonight. The first one is I want to thank you for ordinance number 12-164 tonight. That's the transfer on the library land. Just to let you know a little bit of the history on that, that actually started back in September 21st of 2011 with the school board. So I know it may seem a long time to some of you, but it's actually moved quite quickly, and I want to thank you for that. Also, I want to thank Nancy Cameron, who worked with us on that project with the Matsu Borough. So thanks for everybody involved in that. And finally, this year's New Year's fireworks celebration will be at 8 p.m. in Wasilla at Wonderland Park. Instead of Wasilla Lake, it'll be at Wonderland Park. So 8 p.m. if you're not doing anything else. That's it, sir.
Thank you. Is Palmer here? Does the city clerk want to report on Houston?
Not tonight,
so okay. School district? Okay. We move to the joint school board. Oh, we do have a special. I knew there was a reason why there were so many people out here. Valley Community for Recycling Solutions, Molly Boyer, is signed up under agencies here. So please come forward. And the clerk advises me that you're honored with 7 minutes.
Do you want these items for the clerk? Honorable Mayor and Assembly Members, VCRS began serving the Matsu Borough in April of 1998 with the first of 21 quarterly recycling one-stop events. We then spent 8 years operating the recycling program at the old Moffett Homestead from December of 2002 to December of 2010 when we moved into the permanent recycling center, also known as the first regional resource recovery and training park in Alaska. VCRS's partnership with the borough began early on in our development, from coordinating with the borough on junk car and appliance cleanups to working with the borough as the provider of recycling for our community, our inclusion in both the borough solid waste management plan and the community economic development strategy. VCRS began with an all-volunteer force. We now employ 8 staff, another 2 staff through the Mature Alaska Seeking Skills and Training, plus over 400 volunteers who continue to be our strongest supporters. In 2011, our first year at the new recycling facility, 1,432 tons of material were recovered from the waste stream through our program. This year, through the end of September, we diverted 1,132 tons directly through our program. An additional 200 tons was diverted through our partnerships directly to manufacturers. We intend to serve our community to the best of our ability. and will continue to work hard to reduce the amount of resources going into the landfill. Our goal is to make the resources recovered available first and foremost for local economic development. We work hard at fiscal stewardship by being prime contenders in the recycling industry. The recycling facility and program allow for local business and job development. Several companies are creating either services or products in their partnership with VCRS. Thermacool, a company now based in Wasilla, takes all of the newspaper collected through our program and a major chunk of our cardboard. They make several products, their number one product being cellulose insulation, used by many contractors and private home builders. Valley Recycle Pickup and Ready Recycles provide recycling picker services to the borough residents, businesses, agencies, and schools. Alaska Waste provides cardboard recycling pickup for their commercial customers. VCRS actively works to have these materials recycled through our program available for local entrepreneurs. VCRS works with our local schools from kindergarten through college. In 2011-2012 school year, over 1,000 students came to our facility for field trips to learn about the recycling program, what products are made from, and what they're turned into after they are recycled. We teach them about the challenges of managing landfills and the methane and leachate that waste generates. Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops come to field trips as well. We work with Mat-Su College students and encourage students at the university level to use our program for research and development about what else could be kept out of the landfill and what other products could be made locally with what we already collect. VCRS is partners with Alaska Job Corps, working as both a classroom and work site for their program. VCRS helps their partners, the Alaska State Fair, Mat-Su Home Show, and the annual Palmer Cleanup by helping them to recycle and reduce the waste generated at their events and also providing educational materials during those events. We also help recycle at the annual Christmas Friendship Dinner. Together, VCRS and the borough have made great progress towards making our community a leader in addressing our solid waste challenges in Alaska. But in December of 2010, we were suddenly informed that the borough no longer had their portion of the money to match the EDA grant that was to have completed the project to being fully operational. Since that time, VCRS has attempted to understand what happened to the money that was there one day and then gone the next. You have the letter and timeline from the VCRS board detailing the funding trail of our project, including what we need to make our new facility fully operational. We are asking that the borough honor its word with regard to this EDA grant so as to avoid jeopardizing its relationship with this agency by reappropriating, and this agency being the EDA, the U.S. Department of Commerce's Economic Development Administration, by reappropriating the funds that the borough committed to it to in its grant agreement with EDA. Please approve a resolution to appropriate funds to fulfill the borough's commitment to our community, VCRS, and the Economic Development Administration. This grant is currently set to expire in September 2013, by which date all funds must be expended. VCRS at this time is also requesting that the borough ask EDA to extend that date to December 2013 to allow more time to complete this project. I appreciate your time, and I will answer questions if you have any for me.
Well, this Assemblymember Culver, this is not typically a question-answer event. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, thank you. I read over your letter, and the staff compiled this, all these grant agreements and everything, but I'm really interested in what's it going to take to get you fully operational. So why do you need this baler, and what waste will be diverted from the landfill if you get it, and how much total cost will be the match on that grant is 45%, I understand.
What we need is $1 million. The portion of the borough would be $450,000, and there's more than, and the EDAs would be $550,000. There's more than $550,000 left to the EDA grant money that EDA really wants the borough to use so they don't have to give it back to the U.S. Treasury. The equipment, we need a baler specifically that's going to go at the end of a conveyor that was installed in October. The conveyor was got along with this grant through the borough, a matching to the borough. It's about $220,000 for that conveyor, and it's installed, and now it goes to nothing. It sits in the middle of our floor, looks like a Nordic ski jump. That, with the baler at the end of it, we'll be able to really go after the larger waste generators, the major waste generators, which includes the Matsuburo School District. It would include places like the prisons, and as well as being able to address the transfer stations so that outlying communities can then start to use the recycling program, diverting stuff from the landfill, and we, you know, and the fees are going up. So the fees at the landfill are increasing because it's, we're on our third line cell. Each line cell is $3 million to design and construct. So what we're talking about with our program and this commitment from the borough is small compared to the long-term costs that that landfill incurs. We're there to help reduce the amount of stuff going into the landfill. The baler at the end of that, it addresses that specifically, our ability to handle more material quickly. The other part that we would like to do is weatherize the drive-through area so that it's, the drop-off area is able to be used no matter what time of year and no matter what weather conditions, just to increase that the flow through there. Did I answer that well?
I think so. Assemblymember Colligan?
So is this only borough match, or is it other match that needs to go to this grant? Are there other agencies that can match this grant, or is this specifically borough matching money for the grant?
This was an agreement that the borough signed with the EDA agency. The borough committed $2.5 million to the EDA's $3 million grant. And the grant for the money from the EDA grant was free. How the borough ended up figuring out how to do their portion, the $2.5 million for this facility, was through a low-interest loan from DEC repaid through the tipping fee over 20 years, the tipping fee at the landfill, coming to about 50 cents per ton.
Did you get the administration's response to your timeline?
No, I did not.
Mr. Manager, would you see that that happens? Because we really, until you see that and respond to it, we're going to be spending a lot of time here.
Well, EDA still has not been to the recycling facility because the borough has been in noncompliance, saying they do not have the money. They signed an agreement with EDA saying they had the money. And that's really important. It's your credibility is on the line. And the ability to get further grants from EDA, your future, it's going to impact it. Plus, they're a federal agency. They do talk to each other. We do not want to be in bad standing with a federal agency, and we're good partners. And so figuring this out, something happened. Again, I want to emphasize, December of 2010, one day the money was there, the next day we were told the money was gone. And I don't know if that's explained in those papers that you were given, but I have. It's never been explained to me.
Well, it will be shortly.
And why and the borough will not stand up to its commitment.
We will be working on this.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well,
thanks. Assemblymember Keogh.
Through the mayor to Ms. Boyer. So if I understand what's needed here, on the presumption or the hope that we can further fund $450,000 to allow the purchase of this large baler, first we need an extension of the we need to apply for an extension to EDA. And that, and by your estimation, that has to happen by when? Does that have to happen by the
end
of the
year? Well, you want to get the request in with any, you know, the way time things take, how long things take. So the sooner the request is put in to EDA to extend the end of the grant date, the better. The furthest it's going to be able to be extended is December of 2013 because it was signed, the original grant, the borough signed this grant agreement with EDA in was December of 2008. Excuse me. So it's a 5-year grant window.
So just a quick follow-up. Through the mayor to the manager, the current grant expires when?
Mr. Manager,
I believe it's scheduled for February of 2013.
Okay.
It's August 2013 is for the paperwork I have. Did the date change?
I could be incorrect. I thought it was February 2013 based on a letter we received from Mr. Alvis. You should have had a copy of that, but we can clarify that. Anyways, it expires next year.
Okay. Of
2013? 2013.
Well, in that case, if it's February of that year, it's even more of an emergency to get that date extended, or we lose the opportunity completely. And I don't know what the intent is here. I've always felt that we're good partners. And that this has been a group effort. So I invite you to come and see the challenges we're facing by that conveyor that goes to nothing in the middle of our processing floor.
We're all getting educated on this, you can be sure. But this isn't a workshop tonight. So right. We thank you for your report and bringing it to our attention.
And then I think I need to be on an agenda after I read the stuff to readdress it. Is that how it works?
Well, just communicate with our administration, first of all.
To get back on the agenda to address your questions?
No, come in. Let's sit down and talk about it. This environment is not the best place to get down into the details.
Well, I came to the assembly because I'm having challenges having the administration understand it and work with us. So I want you to know that I'm here because I need the assembly to understand what's going on. It was the assembly that made these agreements. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Joint Assembly School Board. Assemblymember Culver, you were there.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and you were there as well. We met yesterday at an update on the school bonds and design of the new schools and a site selection update. Discussed this ongoing issue over charter school property tax rebate, and I think I'm looking into that. I should be able to come back to you with some progress on that here by our next meeting. It was mentioned that there is a there's some roofs that needs to be fixed, and there's a $9 million of unexpended bond funds from previous roofing bonds. And we'd like the administration to look into whether or not those can be reclassified for the work that needs to be done at Swanson and Colony High, Swanson Elementary and Colony High. They have bad roof leaks. And so hopefully the administration can come back with a plan. Tammy's aware of that because she was there. Well, we either would want to put it on those projects or maybe get them reauthorized. And Mr. Mayor would maybe tell you about there's a move afloat by some municipalities to raise an illegal issue or a lawsuit over whether or not organized areas are legally required to contribute to schools because unorganized areas aren't. And if you want to elaborate that on that, you can, Larry. Otherwise, it was a pretty good meeting, short and sweet. And we have our staff member over there, Bob Bechtold, from the Building Management Department. And he is the liaison on the school bond projects, and that seems to be working well.
Thank you. and the manager and I will be addressing this taxing issue in Anchorage tomorrow. So it's just talk at this point. So anything on Assembly Public Relations? Mr. Manager, you're up.
We've had based upon our good news in San Francisco with the court system, we're able yesterday to brief the governor's office on a rail project and the progress moving forward. Just to kind of briefly recap, we have our current project that will be restarting up in February. We have our second contract that will be awarded at the end of January, and our third contract that will be let mid-January. So we're expecting a full summer of work on the rail. In addition, with Mr. Perkins, we have hired as an assistant to help us through our road bond projects. We are anticipating a full summer of road construction based on the bond. So we feel we're in a good position, and we'll be tying up quite a bit of traffic next year.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, I've got a question for the manager on that. That bond, school bond, $9 million that Mr. Culver was talking about, what can that be transferred to? Can it be transferred like to Kinnick, the new Kinnick High School, that road issue we were asking for $3 million?
We're going to have to spend a little time researching that and getting back to you. I don't want to comment without knowing the full details on that.
Gotcha.
Is that all, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Attorney, it's your turn to crow.
Well, obviously, you all saw the emails and the news reports about the Ninth Circuit case last week. That was a short opinion, two, three pages long, saying we're lifting the stay because STB, Railroad, Borough, you're going to win. We're going to give you a full opinion later. You see these kinds of opinions when the court is convinced that time is of a paramount importance, like an election or something like that. So that was a good thing. We still expect the opinion February, March if it's fast, May if it's longer. And as my email pointed out, bear in mind there is also the new lawsuit pending in federal district court over the core permit. There has been no motion for a stay or anything as that. If one is filed, you'll know right away. We did get granted intervention, as I mentioned at our assembly retreat. We moved to intervene along with the railroad, just like we did with the surface transportation case, and that was granted just via a computer entry. There was no order or anything. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Madam Clerk?
Clerk's report is in your red folders. Also attached to the clerk's report are the agendas for this Thursday, the joint meeting with the state delegation, and also the joint meeting with the school district next Tuesday. The school district, usually in the December meeting, is going to supply the assembly and school board with dinner that night starting at 5:30. And they're also going to have Palmer High School's jazz band playing during that from 5:30 to 6 when the dinner is going on. So that is all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Sorry, I was trying to jump in to ask the attorney a question. Can I still do that?
I will allow that.
Thanks. Nick, so with the finding from on the STB case with the Ninth Circuit, does that have any bearing or leverage with respect to the Corps, the lawsuit against the Corps? Is there any benefit that we can see from that?
Strictly legally speaking, the answer is no. But as a practical matter, the Ninth Circuit found that the Surface Transportation Board did their job and, you know, balanced the economic effects versus or balance the environmental effects against the economic gains, right? And so as part of that, that was the EIS. That same EIS was used by the Corps and evaluated. So I think as a practical effect, we're hopeful that the District Court of Alaska is going to be a little more reluctant to find problems with the EIS when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has already found, in essence, that it's been done properly. Again, we have to wait for the full opinion to get the full, you know, lineup of their reasoning on the issue. But as a matter of, you know, res judicata or collateral estoppel, you know, in certain cases you can argue, hey, we're the same people, we've already litigated this issue, we shouldn't have to do it over. That won't apply.
Okay, thank you.
And while we're in reverse, the clerk wants to speak again. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In reference to the the December 18th meeting, if you guys want to cancel that meeting, that would be the time to do it now rather than the end of the meeting, because even if you change that introduction date, the 12-18 meeting still has not been canceled by that point. So if the Assembly wants to cancel that, if you can let me know, that would be great. Got Assemblymember Colbert, Mr. Mayor.
So Assemblymember Colbert.
I would defer to the manager to get his recommendation, but I'm all for it if it works.
Mr. Manager.
I'm all for it, too, but it's not my recommendation. We have an executive session we're planning for that evening regarding our employment contract, and we're hoping to have action that evening. It's not required to be done at that meeting, but that was our intent and hope.
Okay. What about the rest of the Assembly? Assemblymember Solomon.
I'll make a motion to cancel to the December 18th, 2012 meeting.
Okay, now we'll do it properly. There's a motion on the floor to cancel the December 18th regular assembly meeting. Is there objection?
I would object, Mayor. It appears that we have some important business to conduct that evening.
Okay. Do we want to discuss before we vote? Madam Clerk, would you take the vote, please?
I sure will. Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the meeting has been canceled with Culligan and Woods opposed to canceling.
Assemblymember Halter.
I'd like to make a motion that we put that special session at some point in time with on December 11th, Tuesday, December 11th, 5 p.m.
Can you do that? On the contract?
Yes.
Mr. Manager, do you want to speak to that? The clerk has a problem. Does the manager have a problem?
Can I confer back here?
Let's take a five-minute at ease.
The union is not even done voting on the contract. There's no reason.
Okay, we'll come back to order. There is a motion on the floor, and doesn't seem like it's necessary anymore. Assemblymember Halter, would you withdraw? Is there any objection to that? Seeing and hearing none, we will take care of that business in January. Madam Clerk, we've been going in reverse for quite a while. Where are we?
We are at the presentation of the citizens and other correspondence, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, is there any comments on citizen and other comment correspondence?
Yes, Assemblymember Solomon.
Assemblymember Solomon. Use your mic, please.
The minutes for the Lake Louise Community Nonprofit Corporation minutes must be based on a Mayan calendar.
Was it 2013 or what?
Is there July 21st, the year 2021, based on the premise we'll still be here then, I suppose. Maybe the earth spins backwards. Anyway, there's a typo there, sir.
Thank you.
7/21/12.
Sure. Apparently, there was more than one mistake.
She got it. Thank you.
Your mic's up.
Okay, moving on to unfinished business. We have the resolution 12-113. Madam Clerk.
A resolution approving federal legislative priorities for calendar year 2013.
Madam Clerk, is this on the floor?
It is, Mr. Mayor.
So,
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Halter.
I want to make an amendment just to make it similar to our state priority request, and that would be on the Matanuska River Management. I want to amend that bullet. That's on page 404. Read Mat-Su Borough River Management, $5 million. And I want to have the same paragraph that we wrote for the state priorities inserted there so they're consistent. I believe I was correct. I think we amended it to Mat-Su Borough River Management, $5 million, and then whatever the text was.
That is correct. Is there objection to that? Seeing and hearing none. Further discussion? Is there objection as amended? Seeing and hearing none, we will consider that finished business now. And now we come to resolution 12-129. Madam Clerk.
A resolution authorizing participation and submission of an application under the Federal Fiscal Year 2012 Community Development Block Grant Program for grant funds in an amount not to exceed $850,000 to draft a workforce housing action plan.
Thank you. And there was no objection to allowing public comment on this. So at this point, there isn't a sign-up sheet. So please come forward and speak to this. State your name for the record.
Mr. Mayor, Assemblyman Keough, honored members of the Assembly, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. My name is Dave Rose. I'm the director of the Mat-Su Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. We're basically a coalition of community members concerned with and interested in seeking sustainable community solutions to housing in the Mat-Su Borough. We value partnership, collaboration, and credibility. We're in support of Resolution 12-129, seeking community development block grant funds to draft a workforce housing action plan. And I want to commend the Assembly for forward thinking and looking to find out what exactly is the need in the Mat-Su Borough. We really appreciate the Assembly doing that. We are excited that this type of a program, this type of a resolution might lead to providing housing for young families. I personally have two young men who are now married. One has a child, and I would love for them to come back to the Mat-Su Borough someday. And I would love for them to have a host of housing opportunities to choose from, and it's this type of action plan that might make that even more possible. It looks I'd love to have you guys look into increasing housing density around parks, around our transportation system. One of the things that comes to us time and time again with the Coalition on Housing and Homelessness is we don't know how to get from our home to an employment area. We don't have the public transportation that some other areas with higher density do have. We do have some transportation, and if we can take better advantage of that by placing housing in areas where folks can access that, we're going to give an awful lot of employers that many more employees. Also, we see it'll encourage young families and new employees to look favorably upon moving into the Mat-Su Borough and working and living here. And as I mentioned, I'd love to have both of my sons come back with their families, and having a good place to live would put that forward in a very favorable light. Thank you very much for your service and for considering this resolution.
And thanks for your service, too. There was a good word on your behalf over at the Wasilla Chamber today. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to this legislation? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the ad hoc public hearing and bring it back. Madam Clerk, is this on the floor?
Mr. Mayor, it is.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, we will move on to our public hearings. And first up is Ordinance 12-091. Madam Clerk. We took that off. For bringing that forward, you may leave the room. First for public hearing is Jim Fakes, followed by Mark Bertels. We need to push the button there, I guess.
Supposed to be turning it on in the
there you go.
Honorable Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Jim Fakes. I'm from the Big Lake area. I first got involved in the tower issue when my neighbor misled me by telling me some survey work that was going on was to relocate his property lines. I noticed later 180-foot towers stacked on his property with the power already run to it. I asked him what his plans were. He said, well, I'd like some extra income, and so I'm having leasing this to a tower company. He doesn't live on the property. He has a recreational cabin there. I then went over and talked to the tower company themselves, and I asked them why they selected this particular location. I was surprised by their answer because it was because he offered us his property as a site, not because it was the very best location they could have provided. We all want better cell phone coverage. It's really important and becoming more important all the time. But I think we should have proper towers is what's needed. I agreed to work on the tower working group over a period of 2.5 years. And myself, along with other citizens and the industry, we hammered away for 2.5 years, and this is only part of the stuff we went through, in order to come up with what we felt was something that was acceptable to all of us, although none of us really liked it perfectly. And that's the ordinance that's before you, basically, that you have tonight. I want you to know that I'm personally sensitive to regulations. I'm a businessman and a commercial real estate developer in Anchorage and Wasilla. And I don't like to see undue costs, undue regulations that delays projects and makes them more expensive for us. But our current situation is really unacceptable. It's kind of like the Wild West out there with towers. And I think you would all agree that if somebody put a 180-foot tower 10 foot from your property line, that your value of your land would not go up. And for someone to do that, you really have to ask that neighbor why he should be able to benefit by the diminishing of your value of your property. He should really have a very, very good reason why the towers should go there and diminish your value. And this is actually the reason. The good reasons are in the documents that were prepared and gone over at the expense of the borough and a lot of effort and energy to come up with a good plan. The borough comprehensive plan talks about protecting neighborhoods and protecting associated property values. We need a public process in place to sensibly manage the tower proliferation, I believe. I would just request that you consider adopting this ordinance now. And then, as a mayor, I understand you're working on a committee to look at other possibilities and other people to be involved in, and you can make amendments to that, but at least at the...
Thank you. Mark, followed by Rex Close.
Greetings, Mayor and Assembly. Good seeing you tonight. I just came here.
State your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mark Bertels. I live in Sutton. And I just came tonight in support of Ordinance 157. I support it, the purpose and the intent. I'm familiar with some of the problems with the towers in the core area. We had a similar problem in Sutton a couple years ago, and it took about a year, but we resolved it by removing the tower site, proposed site, and putting it on a farm. So I think there's a lot of solutions to these problems with the towers, and I read the 44-page ordinance, and my only criticism is it probably doesn't go far enough because it really doesn't address the potential hazards from these cell towers in terms of electromagnetic microwaves. And there has been some studies done on that, and I haven't heard any discussion about that. Not that I'm necessarily suggesting that it be added to this ordinance, but I think it's something that the Assembly should take into consideration. But my main reason for being here is I would like to see this ordinance adopted, and I would not like to see the same problems that the core area has and the other communities have right now in our own community in Sutton. Thank you.
Thank you. Rex, followed by Len Fuller, I think.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, my name is Rex Close. I reside in Glacier View. By the time I get back home tonight, I will have driven 110 miles to attend this meeting. That should be some indication of how important this ordinance is to me. I can't reply to much of what's already been put out, but I can say that I talked to my home insurance underwriter today, and he came up with a theory that just blew me away, and that is that the industry as a whole is looking at tall tower structures throughout the nation, and they're starting to think about maybe the risk involved, as in his example was living below the outfall of an earthen dam. If there is risk and potential for property damage, the property owners in the adjoining areas may have an increase in premiums, which really jumped out and got my attention. But anyway, I came in here today to say that I support this ordinance wholeheartedly, even though I live somewhat remote. I still think that there needs to be some controls on this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Len, followed by Mark Gordon. Oh, Len is here.
Is this on? Thank you for hearing me tonight. My name is Lynn Fuller, and I live on Lazy Mountain. And I have not kept up with the details of the tower ordinance, but I did serve, as did Jim Fakes, on the tower task force. And I would like to speak in support of this tower ordinance, even though I believe from my serving on that task force that it's full of compromises and it's not a perfect document. I think it's far from it. But if the alternative is nothing, I think what we're doing with that is we're completely leaving the public out of something that's very important to the public, and we're leaving local government out of something where local government should have a say. My interest in towers came from Morris Communications developing a tower on Lazy Mountain, and there was no requirement, as far as I recall, for them to inform members of the community about the tower. But it did go to the Lazy Mountain Community Council meeting and kind of created a firestorm of public, really, outrage at Morris Communications' stance that they had a right to do anything they wanted and didn't really need to inform the public, and they weren't really interested in what the public felt about communications towers in their area. And that's why we need regulation, and that's why we need borough government to be the go-between between businesses that are not friendly to the public and residents and those members of the public. I don't believe that most radio towers are ill-serving of the public, the same way that most drivers don't drive drunk. But we still have laws that talk about drunk driving because not everybody plays by the rules. And in the case of Morris Communications and in the cases of some tower companies or individuals, they don't care about what happens to their neighbors and they don't care about the public process. So I think it's the role of the borough to step in and go, We need regulations to support and protect the public when they're not protected in other ways. I think the main thing that supports this ordinance, in my mind, is said right in the purpose and intent of the ordinance. It says it pretty well. It's the intent of the borough to enable the orderly build-out of wireless communication infrastructure, WECs, and other tall structures while promoting the health, safety, and general welfare of the public. That's followed by the organized deployment of wireless telecommunications networks, minimizing tower numbers, but also by being friendly to businesses that are willing to work with the public. So I do encourage you to pass this ordinance, especially when I don't believe there's anything as an alternative. And I think it also is actually, in kind of the long range, it's sort of friendly to the industry because the industry knows then that this has been worked through with compromise. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, followed by Murph O'Brien.
Good evening, members of the Assembly, Mr. Mayor, staff. My name is Mark Gordon, and I've lived in the Matanuska Heights subdivision in Assembly District 2 for the past 22 years. I addressed you at the November 20th Assembly meeting regarding tall towers. This past summer, cell phone tower appeared two lots north of me in our residential neighborhood. Not a soul in the neighborhood got any notification. We had no reference to call to get any information or questions answered. I'm a retired engineering project manager who has conducted public communication when building, rebuilding, realigning, or repairing roads and railroad tracks. Public infrastructure construction projects should be communicated to the affected public and property owners before it is begun, if for no other reason, just so the public knows who to contact with questions. This is common public policy in localities from Fairbanks to Miami. At the November 1st Assembly meeting last year, when the 2 years effort of the first tall tower working group to improve the original tall tower ordinance was rejected, the original tall tower ordinance was rejected along as well. This left the public completely in the dark. I do not believe this is sound public policy. This Assembly has agreed to form another tall tower committee to address this issue and create an ideal new tall tower ordinance. At last year's November 1st Assembly meeting, two members of the first tall tower working group testified to you that they were, and I quote, almost there. This proposed ordinance represents their two-year effort and is an ideal point from which a new tall tower committee can work from. From my own discussions with members of the first working group, the two issues left to work out were regarding tall tower fall radius with respect to construction setbacks and the details of public communication. This tall tower ordinance can serve to protect the public's interest until the new committee can present its final product to you for your consideration and action. I really thank you for considering this, for bringing it forward to this meeting for a public hearing. Property owners need some representation. They need information. They need questions answered when things like that just go up right next to their house. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Murph, followed by Jane Dale, or either that or John Doe.
Microphones intimidate me. First thing I want to do is thank the Matsu Borough, in particular the firefighters and Dennis Brodigan, for the great response to the Dutchess area fire yesterday. The good news, they got it out, no homes or damage. I guess it's also good news that the tall tower in our area was also not damaged, so good work. That's my lead into supporting the ordinance that's before you tonight. We do need some protections. The example of the tower that's in our neighborhood and around Dutchess Drive points to the fact that there needs to be a process to address property owners' issues. The tower went up without notice. It's 10 feet, 15 feet off the property line of our neighbors. A few weeks ago, when they ran power to it, they cut a 15-foot swath right along the property line. So what buffer they had is now gone. I would think that Verizon could afford at least to build a fence or something like that to provide some screening. I think that the concept of adopting this ordinance and then the working group that's been proposed to work out some of the issues is a good concept. You know, in my mind, there's things that you can do to make the ordinance better. Certainly, if a tower, as is addressed in this current proposal, is in an industrial area, the bar could be set pretty low as far as requirements. If the tower is proposed in a more developed commercial area, well, the bar, the rules, the mitigations, the protections need to be a little bit higher. But especially if the tower is located in a residential area, the bar needs to be pretty doggone high. Certainly, we all know that we need cell phone coverage. I've been telling people all along that my never had bad cell phone coverage from where we live right now. Not sure if this tower will help us or not, but it's not that we're opposed to towers. We just want to make sure that they're located in the best location, not only for the industry, but for the community and for the residents of the area. I do believe that if we had the opportunity to work with the tower company and with the borough, that a location within our area could have been found that would have less impact to the neighbors. I do have, and I know I'm running out of time, but I didn't bring it up, but I did have an email from Mr. Everett. That's the neighbor that's affected, that's in Afghanistan, and he, too, supports the addition or the adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you. Thank you. Jane, followed by Ken Slauson.
Hi, everybody. I am Jane Dale, and I'm from Willow, Alaska. And I am here also to encourage the Assembly to consider adoption of this ordinance. I believe that this ordinance will provide for some public input, which is very important. I'm a pilot. I'm an aircraft owner. I live on a private airport. I utilize our public airport systems, and I work for a statewide aviation group. In Alaska, aviation is a huge economic engine for our communities. The statewide system plan determined that the economic contribution to our economy in Alaska was $2.1 billion due to aviation. It's 10% of our jobs, it's 8% of our economy, and if there was a category, it would be the fifth largest economic engine in the state. In the Mat-Su Borough in 2008, we did the Regional Aviation System Plan and determined there were over 200 registered private airports in the Mat-Su Borough. In addition, there are 10 public airports in the Mat-Su Borough. We hope that the borough continues with the second phase of our regional aviation system plan so that we can quantify the economic benefit that we receive in the Mat-Su Borough due to aviation. But our airports are a lot of things. Our private airports provide for high property values. They can provide for overflow from our public airports. Some of our public airports provide for transportation year-round to communities. In Talkeetna, it's tourism and access to our cabins in Willow. Willow Lake is the only public seaplane base in the Mat-Su Borough. It is the only place in the Mat-Su Borough where float planes can have access to fuel. And it's just a very important public airport. So the reason that we're interested in an ordinance that allows for public input is because tall structures and towers can be threats to our public airports. What we see when we see an airport are taxiways and runways, but what we don't see are the traffic patterns or the surfaces and the airspace restrictions that are associated with our airports. And when we begin to construct towers that affect those services, then there are some issues that are related to that. It can reduce the utility of an airport. It can be responsible for a loss in public investment and private investment dollars. It reduces the health and safety not only of the pilot and the passenger, but also the people that are on the ground. And, you know, at the end of the day, it reduces the quality of life. So we often think that the FAA has most of the responsibilities and the authorities related to anything with aviation.
Please wrap it up. Go ahead.
Not often the case, especially with towers. They have the authority to make a determination on whether or not there's a hazard, but they don't often have an opportunity to affect that determination or to either approve or not approve a tower. And that's often less left to the authority with land use regulations. So I encourage consideration of this ordinance because aviation is a very important economic engine to our communities.
Thank you. Mr. Slauson, followed by Gene Trashinsky.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Ken Slauson. I want to touch briefly on a couple of points I've heard while I've been waiting. The idea that the FAA does regulate obstructions to airports is correct. In fact, they have quite an active program to evaluate and regulate obstructions. I've worked with them on a couple of towers in our neck of the woods. So I don't know that we need more regulation that tries to either override or usurp the federal regulations that already exist regarding airports and the slope angles out from the thresholds. One of the reasons I'm interested in towers is I do have a tower of my own. I put it up over 10 years ago. I've lived almost 30 years out in the Fairview area in District 5. And I did go talk to a couple of my neighbors before I built it, and they were all quite enthusiastic for me to have a tower up there. Their answer was somewhat, I'll quote it just lightly, but let me get this straight. You're a firefighter, you're an EMT, and now you want to put up a tower so you can communicate in case of emergencies, and you want to know if I object. You know, when can I help? So it's not been a problem. The tower's been up for a lot of years. With respect to the fall hazard, I have lots of tall structures around my property. Most of them are organic. They're called trees. And they're the ones I'm really worried about. They'll do a lot more damage if they fall down and land on my house than a open framework metal tower. And they'll be a lot more likely to fall down with winds blowing on them than a tower with guy wires. I do think you made a very wise decision to set up a tower advisory board. I guess I have to ask a little bit if you don't have the cart a bit before the horse in terms of adopting ordinance language now and then having the tower advisory board look at it. I rather would think that you'd set up a tower advisory board, have them look through the current ordinance, look through the ordinance back in 1999 that I also worked with, and, you know, listen to what's going on from industry, listen to the citizen things. I'm very sympathetic to some very thoughtful comments I heard tonight about public notice, working with residents to site towers and things like that, but I think the ordinance at this point might be a little premature, and it certainly goes beyond just public notice. You know, there's a lot of issues and regulations in there that I think it would be wise to step back and take a very thoughtful look at. Cell phones are important. They're increasingly important to people. They're, you know, while you are told not to rely on them in emergencies, nonetheless people use them even then. Public safety communications is important. We certainly need to have provision for that. You know, Mr. Keough's ordinance is fairly well crafted. He's got exemptions in there for amateur radio and for public safety type things. But still, I'd like to have a long, careful look at it, you know, and I don't think that it's a crisis in the next month or two. If we don't adopt this ordinance for several months, I don't think it's going to cause any damage. Thanks.
Thank you. And I was wrong, Jeannie. I was given the wrong piece of paper, so Jeannie can relax for a minute. But Jim Sykes is next, and anybody else that wants to speak, please sign up so we can cue you up.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Jim Sykes. I'm from Lazy Mountain. I've had the experience of locating two broadcast towers. I know it's not an easy process. You need to work with the community, find a good place that your tower works for you. And I actually participated in the early meetings of the tower working group that brought forth the first ordinance, which I was very disappointed didn't get approved. I didn't work with the group for most of the time that they did their work, and part of that reason is I felt there was a really excellent cross-section of people. It's a very rare opportunity you get industry that is so highly competitive to sit down together and work things out with citizens that want things like notification and participation in the process. And so basically they've figured out a pretty good plan for the build-out of the cell system, and they put it in a pretty good ordinance, and I don't see any reason to delay. It looks like most of what was in that ordinance is in this ordinance. I do have a problem with the setback. I think that any tower, regardless of how good you think it is, should have a setback requirement equal to the height of the tower from the property line. That to me just is good basic sense. It's a safety issue, and one of the issues that may not have been brought forth is I thought about it, the tower out on the Plummer-Wasilla Highway near the dentist's office there. There's an ice issue in some areas, and that's a very heavy wind area. So you could have a possibility of ice blowing off of a tower that can go through the roof of a school bus or a passenger car or kids waiting. So I think the setback is a really important issue that you should look at, and I hope that you do. I think that actually going forth with the ordinance right now is what needs to be done. Most everything has been agreed to, and it's a rare opportunity when you get so many people going in the same direction. I appreciate Mr. Keogh's exemption of the amateur radio operators. Most of the amateur operators don't operate towers that are higher than 100 feet anyway, so it really doesn't make a lot of difference. And I appreciate the comments that were submitted by the lady who has been involved in aviation build-out, because it makes a difference too. The problem with waiting is that without notification, without public process, we've seen towers proliferate, and a lot of people get angry, and towers probably put in places where they could have been combined, which is what a lot of the original tower working group agreed to do amongst the industry itself. So thank you very much. I hope you not only consider the legislation that is coming forward here, but that you approve it tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else signed up? Anybody else want to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keogh.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 157, and I'd like to speak to that, please.
You may.
First of all, thanks to all of you who spoke this evening in this public hearing. And I have to say, like so many times in the past, it's actually humbling for some of us as we sit around the assembly here to hear the informed, passionate, articulate, powerful comments that so many people make on a variety of issues. This is no different this evening, so thank you. Tonight we have an opportunity to undo a mistake that this assembly made 1 year ago. In my opinion, we made a mistake when we voted by a 4-2 margin to toss the existing tall tower ordinance. Since that time, as many of us know, there's been a proliferation of towers, not only with the core area of the borough, but in the more rural communities as well. And predictably, there's been a growing number of people that are upset, if nothing more than a lack of public notice, and to suddenly find themselves, as some of you mentioned, with a tall structure in their neighborhood that didn't exist. I would like to address one of the arguments that have been made here, that it's that I've heard in the past when we established a tall tower committee here just a month or so ago, and that is that this ordinance is premature, or somehow we've gotten the cart in front of the horse. I would argue that we're way late in making this happen. When we threw the code out a year ago, there was some discussion of, well, that may be a bit extreme, but maybe we should work on that so we can get something back in the code, perhaps less onerous than the old code, or maybe more simple than the new proposed code, but none of that happened. So now here we are with the opportunity to institute a new code with many of the recommendations that was made by the previous Tall Tower Working Group. As has been mentioned here, they met for nearly 2.5 years. I think it was 18 meetings, not 15, for a total of some 45 or 50 hours. There were industry representatives. There were members of the public that were concerned, a variety of folks. And again, as has been mentioned here, the conclusion, there was a conclusion reached. It was a compromise amongst industry folks, the public citizens, to come up a year ago with a proposal to remedy the existing code. What we have before us now is something similar to that, but in a somewhat weakened form. It's based on the old code. Many changes have been made. And in this instance, the code, the ordinance that's before us this evening, it's had input from the Aviation Advisory Board, and those comments were taken into account. Further, there's been, this was vetted through the Planning Commission. They made some changes, and there's been comments made here this evening about the fall radius of towers. And I have heartburn with the way that this ordinance is presented and the changes that the Planning Commission made. I'd like to see a more stringent fall radius. However, we have what we have here, and I accept that. Fundamentally, what we need is some code on the books. We're not serving the public interest by not having any legislation, by not having any code in the books. So I think we should adopt this, and if we use the same rationale that we used in the past when we, in my opinion, somewhat precipitously passed the subdivision code, if it needs to be tweaked, if it needs to be fixed, we can address it later. But we need something on the books now, and the future Tall Towers Committee that will be formed probably sometime in January will have a chance to advise us on how to make it better if they find fault with it. So, finally, if members of the Assembly have too much heartburn with the ordinance as proposed here, in your packet is a substitute ordinance, which alternatively, if the preference of the Assembly is to go back to the old code, it's before us here now. So basically there are two options here, or there are more than two options here for us this evening, but the proactive ones are, one, let's get a new ordinance on the books. If that's not acceptable, let's go back to the old one. I think those are the two best choices, and I think we should go with the ordinance that's been vetted through the Planning Commission. And with that, I'll be quiet and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Keough, speaking for the motion. Other comments? Is there objections to the motion? Assemblymember Colligan?
Yes.
Objection? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Colligan?
No.
Assemblymember Woods?
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter?
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough?
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon?
No.
Assemblymember Arvin?
No.
Mr. Mayor, we have a tie vote.
Well, the mayor's going to vote yes.
Wow.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Colligan, Salmon, and Arvin opposed.
I didn't get to speak to it, Madam Clerk. But we will... It will become our starting point for the committee that is going to be approved at the next meeting. So, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 12-164.
An ordinance approving conveyance with certain conditions, a four-acre parcel legally described as Tract B-1B, Wasilla Middle School, according to plat number 2012-88, to the City of Wasilla for the purpose of constructing a new library and land classification of Tract B-1B as reserved use lands, MSB 006663.
Okay. Jeannie, it's your turn. Please state your name for the record. And if anybody else wants to speak to this, please sign up.
Now we got to wait until they
Okay. Good evening, Assembly. Mayor, thank you for having me here tonight listening. My name is Jeannie Trashinsky. I'm president of the Friends of Wasilla Library, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the Friends of Wasilla Library and asking you to support this ordinance. The Wasilla Public Library will celebrate its 75th year of service to the Valley on January of this coming year. In 1990, the current building was acknowledged as being too small. I was talked into joining the Friends of the Wasilla Library in 2000. I've been serving as president ever since and have been fighting tirelessly for us to get a new building. You may ask yourself, why should the borough give to the city land for a library? The Wasilla Public Library is a part of the Mat-Su Borough Library Network. We hold the largest amount of items for the library network at 55,000 items. All borough residents have access to those materials. When we build the new library, the current projection, we are working with a four-acre group in the pre-development program, is to extend to 95,000 items. Those items will all be available to every borough resident. I don't really sometimes feel that you as an assembly really know what an amazing thing the library network is and what a great service it provides to our entire borough. But it is really awesome. And the Wasilla Public Library is a key part of that library network. In addition, we first went with this request to the school district because we know that land adjoining the school, the Wasilla Middle School, will by having the library there, that'll be a positive relationship, and the borough and the school board was very much in support of us being there and felt that that will be a positive relationship. And the plan is really, we're really working to incorporate paths from the middle school to come down there for the kids to be able to have easy access to the library. The plan is really exciting. It will only be done at 10% with the pre-development program, but it will be really a jewel for the Valley. In addition, I myself am not even a city resident of Wasilla. I am a borough resident. I am one person in the 80% of the users of the Wasilla Public Library that are non-city residents. The borough uses that library. And so this is a way that you can contribute and help us make this be a reality, not just for the city of Wasilla, but for the entire Mat-Su Borough. And so on behalf of the Friends of Wasilla Library, I thank you for your consideration of this proposal tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will bring it back to Assemblymember Colligan.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-164.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. And we move to ordinance 12-165.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $238,949 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program to fund 425 project number 45158 for equipment, travel, and training, with accompanying resolution serial number 12-131, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant project number 45158, fund 425 for equipment, travel, and training, and authorizing the manager to enter into a memorandum of understanding the State of Alaska for state-sponsored Red Cross training.
Thank you. We'll open the public hearing. There's nobody signed up. Does anybody want to speak to it? This is your chance to get 3 minutes to talk about Homeland Security. Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move the approval of ordinance serial number 12-165.
And the resolution?
And accompanying resolution serial number 12-131.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, that has passed. Assemblymember Halter, could you turn your mic off, please? Makes a big difference on the telephone and everybody else's volume, too. Madam Clerk, 12-167.
We're on 166, Mr. Mayor, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $100,000 from the Alpine Road Service Area Number 31 Fund Balance Fund 285 to Fund 410, Project Number 30051 for Alpine Road Service Area Number 31 Capital Projects.
Thank you. Does anybody want to speak to this? The public hearing is open. And the public hearing is closed. Let me bring it back to Assemblymember Keo.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-166.
Discussion? Objection? Motion passes. And now, 12-167, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance approving a reappropriation of $100,000 from the Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27, Fiscal Year 2013, Operating Budget Fund 281 to Fund 410, Project Number 30047 for Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27, Capital Projects, with accompanying ordinance serial number 12-168, an ordinance approving an appropriation of $950,000 from the Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27, Fund Balance Fund 281 to Fund 410, Project Number 30047 for Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27, Capital Projects.
Thank you. Anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-167 and ordinance serial number 12-168.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. Assemblymember Halter, your mic is on.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, could we have a short break, please? We've been here an hour and a half.
We have. There's two people signed up for audience participation. If it might be courteous to them to let them speak first.
Certainly.
So, Ralph Boozar, I think, and we are at audience participation, and then followed by Linda Wood. Yeah, we ask you to say your name in part so we know how to really say it, and also yeah. So it's on record.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Assembly. Ralph Boozar. I'm here in... reminding you, I thought Molly gave a very good presentation of the recycling center. When I relocated from the islands down southeast, the town I lived in has had a baler for 20 years, and they do recycling. And what I would like to see, they're starting out now, is they have a trailer up at the dump up there in Big Lake for recycle things. I would like to see the borough and the recycling people get together and get a fleet of these trailers with bins in them that could be like at the Houston Fire Station, Willow Fire Station, these different places so people could take and drop their recycles off. I drive all the way from Houston all the way to 49th Street once a month. And I think that if you got a fleet of those going out to Sutton and out in them areas, and then let the recycle people arrange to have them picked up, brought to the recycle, picking up an empty one because they have to go back, bring an empty one back. Does that make sense? I would love to see they taking some money and putting it in for the public and make it a little bit more convenient. Because myself, when I see I've got 7 cans that I recycle every month, I'm only one. Just imagine what we could gather if we could get all these other communities into little located places to recycle things. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I do know from talking to Molly that's the direction we're moving towards, service of that sort. Linda Wood.
I'm rather new out in the valley, and my name is Linda Wood, and I have been working on the roundabout at Bogart and Trunk Road, and I feel that not enough tests have been done. I think it's too round for any truck over 50 feet. They say not enough people have been contacted about this or let known that this is even going on. I mean, I have talked to hundreds of people already, and they do not want it. They'll avoid it. You know, I'm going, well, how are you going to avoid it with no other roads? You know, I wanted to actually stop this. I've also found out that DOT in Anchorage, Sean Baski, B-A-S-K-I, and Scott Thomas stated that they had done tests on this, and they have not. They have not done any road with trucks or big vehicles on this kind of roundabout. As far as I went to, I've been talking to a lot of people about this. I went to First Student, tried to talk to David, but he was never available at the bus station there. I did talk to Beverly, and she stated that it was, she went to the meetings for this roundabout, but she didn't know it was going to be a roundabout. And I said, well, where were you sitting that you heard all this and you saw all this paper, but where were you sitting that you didn't see that it was going to be a roundabout? So I feel a lot of people don't know what's going on, or they're going to be a real big surprise. There's, what I'm hearing is everybody's trying to avoid the roundabout at Trunk Road at Parked Highway. So I don't know what else we can do with this. I know this is a state thing, but I'm new at this, and I really would like to make it and bring it to people's attention that this lie after lie that I've been told by Baski and Scott Thomas, I have found out today that it was never approved by Trucking Association, or was it approved by the Teamster Union. Those were out and right lies to the people. So I don't know what we can do from here to stop it until the actual tests have been taken. I feel that the road hasn't been properly taken care of since there was so much flooding out there at Trunk Road and Bogart. They kind of put a culvert in, but that's all they've done, and the culvert is too high to the road. It's not underground enough to support the trucks that are going to be going over it. And, of course, their trucks are hauling, what, 25 to 30 tons of rock, sand, and I understand there's going to be coal trucks, too. So I'm wondering what we can do about that to make sure that the road is properly taken care of so that...
Thank you. I'm sure our manager will look into that for us. Nobody else signed up. So we will close the audience participation. And at this point, we will take a 10-minute. We'll come back at 15:02. Okay, the appointed hour has arrived. And we're ready for our consent agenda. We have a quorum at the table. So, and there was nothing pulled. So, Madam Clerk, would you read the consent agenda?
AM number 12-145, authorizing the purchase of 7 E-Series automated external defibrillators and 20 Pro automated external defibrillators from Zoll Medical Corporation in the amount of $281,935.81 for the Department of Emergency Services, Ambulance Fleet, and Borough Facilities. That is it, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, well. I thought the whole next page was... Oh, that's introductions. Very good. So, Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move to accept as read... The introductions?
This is the consent agenda.
What? Oh, I move the consent agenda as presented.
Thank you. There shouldn't be any objections. Seeing and hearing none, they are approved. Madam Clerk, introductions.
Mr. Mayor, with the cancellation of the 12:18 meeting, these are for introduction for public hearing on 1:15. 2013, Ordinance Serial Number 12-171 and Ordinance Serial Number 12-162.
Twelve
12-161 was taken off the agenda at the beginning of the meeting.
And what about 12-171?
That was the first number I read, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
Just a question for the clerk. This is the one that, do I need to move this to the 15th, or was that not done earlier?
That was
the cancellation of the meeting. And
she made the motion correctly, okay,
so that's no longer necessary. All right, then, Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the introductions as read into the record by the clerk.
Thank you. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, passes. And we are all the way down to the vacancy report. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the mayor's confirmations this evening as follows. The Aviation Advisory Board, David Palmer. Board of Adjustment and Appeals, Claudia Roberts. Board of Ethics, Sarah Henkel. Joint Assembly School Board Committee on School Issues, Noel Woods. Local Emergency Planning Commission, Kevin Munson. Office of Administrative Hearings, Karen Jennings. Transportation Advisory Board, Richard Bess and Ken Walsh. Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area Number 130, Ken Slauson. West Lakes Fire Service Area Number 136, Kathy Kramer. And Alpine Road Service Area Number 31, Steve Hudson.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the vacancy report is approved. And we are now down to comments. So, Mr. Spiropoulos, do you have any comments?
I do not.
Mr. Manager?
No, sir.
Madam Clerk?
No, sir.
Whoa. Assemblymember Colbert?
A compliment to the manager, the emergency services department, and first responders in the cities of Palmer and everyone involved in the Cedar Hills fire. Could have been very catastrophic, but really showed some good teamwork there and great coordination with the city in taking care of that. I do need to clarify one thing. City Manager Cottle told me about the I mentioned the potential lawsuit over the school funding formula. That's coming from the city of Ketchikan, and no one else is on board, and there's an informational meeting that the manager or the mayor referred to on Wednesday, and it's having to do whether or not there's a legal issue with requiring organized boroughs to contribute to education mandatorily and not requiring that of unorganized areas. But just to clarify that so far it's only the city of Ketchikan that has shown any interest in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Colligan?
No comment.
Assemblymember Woods?
No comment.
Assemblymember Halter?
Well, first of all, thank you for passing that Tall Towers ordinance, and especially your vote, Mr. Mayor. I think it was the correct way to go. And I want to know who's ever in charge of the snow at the borough level. I wish I'd get on the stick and get some warm air.
Our machine is broke. We're looking for repair.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
It wore out last year. Assemblymember Keel.
Two things briefly. One, thanks for the fast and effective response by the many emergency responders in the fire service for the wind-blown fires in the Cedar Hills area. Thanks. Good job done by everyone there. Thanks to the assembly and the mayor for passing the Tall Tower Ordinance. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
No comment, sir.
My deputy mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, but I have no comment tonight.
Okay, I guess it's down to me. I would like to remind everybody that we're living in a tinderbox, and when you've got a tinderbox and wind, it's really something we really need to be careful about. So very thankful that there's been nothing disastrous so far. I know some people were probably surprised at my vote on tower ordinance. I've never felt that it was right to have nothing. I didn't think it was right to put the public through the paces of a public hearing immediately prior to going to work on a tower ordinance, but we did, and so we're going to have a tower ordinance until our committee gets to it, and they will. That will be in January when that's approved. So, since there's no meeting on December 18th, you all have a Merry Christmas. We do have a, oh yes, well, no assembly meeting, so, right. Regular?
No, joint.
There's no regular assembly meetings, right. Okay, we're adjourned.